Welcome to today's episode of Keep It Healthy podcast. We're excited to introduce a visionary leader in the health tech industry. Our guest is the founder of Envy Health Tech, a company that is pioneering the use of generative AI and wearable technology to enhance real-time health data management. With a focus on preventive health and personalized nutrition, he has grown his startup into a leading force in the field, dedicated to empowering individuals with proactive health management tools. Through Envy Health Tech, he's blending science and technology to offer AI-powered, app-based platforms for personalized health insights. His work reflects a deep commitment to improving health and wellness through innovation, drawing from his own journey towards balanced health. Join us as we explore the future of health tech and the impact of personalization in healthcare. Welcome to Keep IT Healthy podcast, the show hosted by people making things happen in technology, aiming to optimize healthcare delivery, health, well-being, and fitness. My name is Jan Kaminski and I'm the co-founder of AppLover, a company dedicated to improving the quality of life with IT solutions and digital advisory. We started making this podcast to amplify great thinking to propel healthcare forward.
When I was 18 years old, I got this diagnosis of lymphoma. So a cancer, I was laying in hospital for more than 1 year with chemotherapy and fighting for my life, that entire story. So I was diving super deep into the topic of human health quite early. At first, out of a high necessity, because I wanted to survive, right? And later, it became my mission. It became my passion to help as many people as possible and cause a major paradigm shift away from this broken sick care system, how I call it, towards really proactive healthcare. And you can do that with technology, personalized technology, by building predictive health technology so you can prevent disease long before they occur if you empower the individual in the right way. So that's like how this intrinsic motivation or where this intrinsic motivation comes from. And now I'm at the intersection of AI and personalized health technology and doing what I'm doing in order to scale or use technology and information in the core to have the same exponential impact with these exponential technologies.
Let's start with Envy. In a few words, what is that? How is that connected with AI? And could you elaborate on the personalized approach you mentioned?
Yeah, sure. So what we do with Envy, to make it simple, is you can connect any fitness tracker or wearable you want. We're completely agnostic. So a user could just download the Envy app in the App Store and connect any fitness tracker wearable you want. Like can be your Apple Watch, your Fitbit, your Garmin, Oura Ring, Withings, you name it. And what we do then is like you would get an AI health and performance coach in your pocket that is translating your data into actionable feedback, into actionable advice. We are learning from relevant patterns and correlations in the background, not only the sensors of your wearable technology where we get the stuff like sleep data, stress data, activity data, heart-related biomarkers, but we get even more data like environmental data, nutrition data and more. We're learning from relevant patterns and correlations and translate it in a very easy way to you and empower you to reach an ideal state of physical and mental fitness and maintain it. So you have this coach in the pocket that is enriched with all scientific findings since the beginning of human history and now in real time connected to all your current health data.
Is it B2C or B2B? Or both in terms of a business model?
What I just explained is from an end user perspective, that's your end user experience when you download the app. But of course, we also have a B2B arm in the company where we offer that service also for players in digital health, wellness, and fitness to actually help them solve their most pressing issues they have. How can I have a better retention, more engagement, better personalization? You can do that with involving personal health data and AI coaching to really engage with your audience or clients.
We'll get to AI in a minute as well. What differentiates Envy AI health coach, as you call it, from other wellness apps or health apps in the market?
Yeah, it's a great question. So think of this complex interoperability platform where we are fusing and merging more than 500 health and wellness data integrations. So here is like we're really connecting the dots and learning from relevant patterns and correlations between your stress data, activity, nutrition data, environmental data. So just to make a practical example, you could learn like the UV index or hours of sunlight have an impact on your deep sleep. And what we now do is that we like make that very accessible for every person. So you would have an AI coach in your pocket. You could now chat with your own health data, and the AI coach screens your data, learns from patterns and correlations, is enriched with all scientific findings. You can ask tailored questions and get personalized feedback. But at the same time, as we also learned, that users are not so proactive as we initially guessed. So this component of this proactive AI coach that is giving you predictive guidance is even more important. So we give you very, very simple words where we show you not only these patterns and correlations or impact of daily lifestyle choices or whatever, but in simple words, give you the guidance towards like optimal amount of sports for individualized load management, what kind of food after intense workouts, how you can improve your sleep, how you can improve qualitative sleep, the REM sleep and deep sleep, how to tackle stress management, always based on your biomarkers and even more factors that are not measured by your wearable technology only, because those won't give you insights about your nutrition intake or environmental factors. And that's where we built this interoperability platform. This data architecture came up with our health metric calculations, individual zones to help you with load management and so on. And now by all this complexity that happens in the background, we make it very easy, very seamless, and a very seamless user experience with an AI coach that is translating this data into actionable feedback, giving you precise scores at a glance and tools you need to get into peak performance physically and mentally and maintain this ideal state. And just as one addition, what then happens from a bird eye view, which obviously is also super interesting, is what we call collective intelligence or this peer group analytics, as we get this real field health data from users all over the globe. So we can then show stuff like, hey, men between 30 and 40 living in Berlin have higher stress levels than the same demographic cluster living on the countryside, whatever, or show users what they can do, what helped the most for same demographic clusters. So this is, of course, something where this whole system is getting more and more intelligent, or this collective intelligence, of course, raises on the company level, but also on your personal level, as your AI coach is getting smarter on a daily basis and growing with your data and history.
Could you also explain how Envy incorporates these biohacking principles?
Yeah, that's a great question, by the way, because people speaking about biohacking are... I often get these questions like, what do you think about this biohack? What do you think about this longevity supplement or this gadget and this kind of cryotherapy and you name it? And then when you speak with the people, you figure out that if we think of this pyramid, the basics are all over the place. Like the basics for me of health and performance is like, how do you move? How do you sleep? How do you make stress management on a daily basis? What kind of food do you eat, nutrition, what kind of environment you're living in, what kind of social relationships do you have, deep, meaningful relationships, and what kind of purpose do you have in life? What's your why? What's your mission? So if you speak about this basic stuff, then with people who want to have this last biohacks, it's like, man, here are the 90%. This is what we have to get straight first or fix first. And then we speak about optimization and the last biohacking tech trends. So what we do is like, really, we give you a tool where you can do that, what I just described, in a very simple and seamless way in your busy life. So you have this AI coach in your pocket that is translating your data and helping you to manage your basics in a very easy way. And the moment you get out of your ideal road, you get a small alert with, hey man, you didn't move enough in the last 5 days. It would be time to increase your sports levels, or your deep sleep doesn't look that good, or improve your REM sleep, whatever it is, right? So we help you with the basics. And then when you established all of these healthy habits and routines, we speak about the last biohacks for the high performers to get the last percent out of that. And we also do that, but it comes after fixing the basics. Then we do this last percent tweaks and biohacks you can do. But obviously, as you know, habit or behavioral health is something very, very hard to implement, even for disciplined people. So time by time, if you overwhelm people with establish just 50 routines in your daily routine, it will not work. So time by time.
And you mentioned some generative AI. And first of all, how do you use it? How do you implement AI? And in a more general way, how do you see that revolutionizing personalized healthcare in the future?
The healthcare field is actually the biggest one that will get totally transformed and revolutionized by AI. I remember an interesting article published by Andreessen Horowitz, one of the biggest Silicon Valley VCs, who also said like that, where will AI have the biggest impact? By far healthcare. And it's also the area like that has to get disrupted by disruptive technology. If you think about what I said initially, we're still living in 2024 in a reactive sick care system. So we wait until it's too late and then we're treating symptoms. But we would actually have this kind of technology now where we can prevent disease long before they occur by using predictive health technology and empowering people to make better lifestyle choices in the moment they're leaving the ideal path. And obviously that has a lot of complexities, because if you think about connected healthcare and all of these incumbents and all of these different stakeholders, they come with different interests. So what does customer lifetime value and retention mean for a pharma company or a life science company? What does it mean for an insurance company? And what does it mean for a digital wellness startup or company? So how can you align all of these interests from the payers, from hospitals, from pharma? And when will big tech step into this game of health in the future? And how will that disrupt that as well? So by just speaking about it, you see it's a complex topic, but we will see it in the future and we will see disruption. It's just very complex. That's why it takes time, because all of these players come with different kind of strategic interests, to say so. We tackle it in a way that we are really building close to the end users, close to the needs of an end user who wants to improve their health and performance. And we iterate the product in every loop close to the needs of an end user on their feedback on a daily basis to give them the best experience ever they can have with an AI performance coach, health and performance coach in their pocket that is doing nothing than empowering you to reach your ideal state and maintain it by taking care of all the basics that are relevant for your health, for human health and performance.
Getting to the details of you developing the AI health coach, what challenges did you face during that process and how did you overcome the challenges?
Everybody who tells you like, yeah, it was super easy and it was a no-brainer and it just went off my hand, like, that's bullshit, obviously. So you run into many challenges, you have to fix them. You will iterate and change anyways. Like I just made one example before. We underestimated how less proactive the users are. So I remember like the first version of our AI coach, we were like, man, we have this amazing AI coach, the large language model, X all users' health data connected with generative AI. Now that's a game changer. Like that was the very early days. We have been really the first movers on the market by doing that. Now you see big companies like Whoop coming with AI coaches and establishing that in their user experience. But we have been first mover here. And we thought that's a game changer, right? To then learn like, no, users actually don't interact on their own. I mean, some very interested do, but you have to give them a guidance. You have to give them a very clear path in your user experience. You have to provide them a good guidance. And then maybe they feel inspired to ask some questions at the right time. So, of course, the product evolution is there that we learned a lot from the user when it purely comes to the product side. And generally, if that question is more like on a company level, it has so many factors, man. I'm a solo founder, so just think about all these implications by like working years without any day off, having this mental grit and resilience to just always keep going, no matter if the world is going under with inflation, war, and whatever. Like you just keep going and making it happen, taking care of clients, B2B clients, B2C customers, the team, investors, and everything. But that's the game. You have to be willing to play it well. And obviously, a good and solid, rock solid purpose helps that you know why you're doing what you're doing.
I have two other founders to run the company with, and I cannot imagine being a solo founder. So I wanted to tackle that topic as well. Could you share how the concept of that mental resilience has played a role in your professional journey? And I mean, who is your sparring partner if you have no other co-founders?
I think that I kind of have, it sounds very stupid, but I kind of have a bit of an unfair advantage when it comes to this mental resilience part due to that extreme thing that happened in my life in young years. So I have a totally different angle on problems, to say so. Like, no matter how big the problem is, I'm like I survived other things. Like, does it take a day, a week, a month to fix this problem? Okay, let's do it. What do we need to do? So I have, like, let's say, a very high threshold of dealing with pressure. I'm usually staying very calm under pressure and, like, dealing with problems or stress, because, like, I'm just looking at it from a bird eye view and see, okay, it's actually needed in the world. So maybe only certain people are qualified to bring it to the level it has to be. And maybe my story is a very unique story that is now predestinated to build something big and massive, to cause this paradigm shift. So I have this intrinsic motivation because of my story. But sure, you have to build, like, your habits and routines to still cope with stress and maintain sprinting the marathon. And here, sparring partner, it's actually very rare. So I know how beneficial it is to have a mentor or to have a sparring partner. I have a great team, really a great, great team. And to be honest, like, we do exceptional teamwork together. So of course I have sparring partners in the company. Just because they're not founders doesn't mean that I'm not sparring with them. The opposite is the case. Like, we, all of our team members, is like, all of them are highly intrinsically motivated, and we're molding and shaping the product on a daily basis. And I would say it's just like teamwork. Sure, I'm the founder, but everybody is all in with this.
Okay, so you're not a member of any, like, founders of organizations, mastermind, or you have an advisory board where you just, you know.
I do have an advisory board. We have a great advisory board of very well connected people also in the health technology space. But this is more like high level advisor stuff that you have your check-ins, like, let's say, quarterly or once in a half year, and you speak about some strategic stuff. It's not really like a daily thing. This is really more like the people who are crafting the product on a daily basis, fixing the problems on a daily basis. And what I do is, when I need some high level decisions, I like to remove myself just from the environment. Because when you're in the company and you have to make some strategic high level decisions and you're in the middle of the storm, it's very hard. So it sounds stupid, but I'm from Munich, Germany, so the mountains are close. I like to go to a place where it's high, so I have a nice view, and then I can make good strategic decisions to just remove myself from the hectic environment, think of it from a bird eye view, and dealing with it by myself. I guess that's part of my story. I'm a bit of an outlier here, so I'm not the type that actually I'm like giving advice to myself very often. Make mistakes, make good decisions, learn from it, but always adapting with a growth mindset. So no matter what happens in my life, I'm learning from it, and I'm driving good with that.
As a tech founder, I'm sure you had a lot of challenges and you made a lot of mistakes. And a few of the challenges you faced in developing Envy, could you share some of the stories? How did you overcome the challenges?
I did a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of good things. It's really about, like, not dying in perfection, but being like having the guts to make decisions is even more important. If you're taking 10 decisions a day and 8 are right and 2 are totally fucked up, then you're still very important as a leader, and you had the guts to take these decisions and you keep up the pace. So it's a very good thing, actually, because either you learn from it and then you improve fast, you you know, fail fast and improve fast rather than dying in perfection. Or you did the right decision and you keep going. So everything is growth. Everything is good in that sense. It's just like your mindset, your perspective on it. But yeah, I also did some wrong decisions that were expensive. I remember in the beginning, especially when it comes to key hirings, in the beginning, I made some wrong decisions where I didn't make like good background check. I was like, no, that's a good track record. Very like here, PhD, that, and you name it. But you really have to check like not only what's on the paper, but how did those people contribute to the success of the company in that time frame? And here, like in Germany, you're actually screwed as an employer, and as an employee, it's paradise. So it can be very expensive to make wrong personal decision for a startup, also early stage. So I did mistakes, and I learned from that. How did I overcome them? Just mental resilience. Actually, it's just like I'm coming back to the same topic. I know what we're doing is very important for the world. The world needs it. So I have a very strong intrinsic motivation. I have a very strong purpose and why. And then I'm adding like my grit, my perseverance, my persistence, my resilience, get up and be there for mankind, to serve actually for my team and for the people.
We talked briefly about B2C, B2B. So first, how does Envy Health Tech corporate wellness scheme benefit businesses and their employees? Because probably that's a B2B offer, right?
What we do in B2B is like we have to differentiate between two things. We name them AI as a service or AI health coach as a service and prevention as a service. The first one, AI as a service, is like it's an API approach where we actually empower digital health and wellness companies to more or less plug and play with our solution. So let's just say without naming any names, a very big and successful nutrition app company finds out that science proves that in order to have sustainable success with weight management, you actually have to manage four things in your life, which is not only your diet, but also stress levels. If you have too much cortisol, you can't lose weight. Sleep, if you have a poor sleep, you don't lose weight. And activity, if you don't move, you don't lose weight. Now it turns out that Envy is making exactly these areas measurable with their scores on the wearable agnostic platform. So their users could connect any device, Apple Watch, Fitbit, Garmin, Oura, you name it. And at the same time, we're translating the data into actionable feedback. So it's an engagement machine that is helping you to improve your health proactively on a personalized basis, no matter what kind of wearable you have. So that obviously is huge value add for these kind of companies. So they're using this API to have a better user experience for their end users and give them an AI coach as a service for us. So that's the AI as a service arm in B2B, where we empower digital health, wellness, fitness companies to solve their most pressing problems, which are around retention and engagement with better personalization. Now, prevention as a service is, think of like, because you mentioned it, like corporate health, for example, employee well-being, corporate wellness. And here they're really using also our end user interface for the app. So it's not business to developer. It's not like they're not coding or crafting a product. They're just using this perfect app we crafted in the very first step, because we wanted, the first step had to be to build an outstanding end user experience to also prove it and back it that we are able to have this engagement machine, and then give it to the companies to solve their most pressing problems. And if you think about companies and company health management, the times are over where you put some bananas and apples in the kitchen and say, hey, company health, we care for our employees. So it's an era of new work, people are working from everywhere, home, at home, and so on. And we are designed for that, for new work. Everything an employee needs is their phone, no matter where they are, and they get empowered to improve physical and mental health on a preventive and proactive basis. The numbers go skyrocket, for example, companies due to mental illness, sick leave, and so on. So it really is, it's not like a nice to have employer branding thing. It really solves a very expensive problem for companies to have productive and healthy employees. And at the same time, it's something that is very beneficial also when it comes to employer branding, because you can really attract top tech talent with these kind of things when you have them in the company. You have better employee loyalty, better retention, and you can really attract top tech talent. But we obviously see that like scale-ups and tech startups that are now grown into grown-ups or scale-ups, they are like in the first place better matching B2B clients and company health rather than this old settled corporate health clients. Because here you quickly get into this discussions around our council, employee council, privacy, health data. But we actually do nothing, like no company, no health data get processed at the company level. It's just like your company pays for your fitness membership. It's like you get a license, it's license cost per employee per month. So you just get access to the app and nothing else happens. But yeah, we see that trend that tech-oriented scale-ups are actually like the ones that are most interested in that for company health management.
I'll get to the privacy aspect here. How do you ensure the user privacy and data security while providing that personalized health insight, both for B2C, B2B, because probably that's a thing that a lot of customers are asking about. And even you mentioned that right now.
Yeah, 100%. It's probably the most important factor where you really have to be bulletproof. So what we did is initially when we started, one of our close advisors is a lawyer that is specialized on data privacy in the medical and health space for decades. So he does that by profession and crafted like a pixel perfect strategy, and we implemented that rigorous. So we really like have like data privacy, GDPR compliance streams, approval security at heart, where the data gets hosted, the whole architecture, the whole environment is set up like bulletproof. Because one thing is clear, if the most sensitive data about human beings, like your personal health data, get lacked somewhere, you have a lack, you can close the company. You have a big problem. So here we really take care that we did a rock solid job when it comes to that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And with that, we're talking about the feedback that you received from the businesses, etc. I know that a lot of startups have this problem with modeling their business model. And what feedback have you received from businesses while first implementations of on the services, and how has it shaped your offerings? I mean, what was the process? How did you work with that?
Yeah, it is a process. So process is the right word. We're not, I wouldn't say that we are so far advanced in the B2B side that we have all the knowledge about all the learnings from years. It's still early days in B2B. But what we see is that companies really need solutions in that space. There's a huge white space to really offer this kind of AI as a service or AI coach as a service here. So I'm actually, from a company perspective, stupid to say that because I'm motivating competitors, but I don't care because I ultimately, for me, it's about healthy human beings. So I want, the cake is big enough and I want more people to be healthy at the end of the day. And that happens when we successfully roll out this B2B solutions, because at the end, it's always a win-win-win, right? For the companies and for the end user who profits from that. So mentioning that, what we see is that the companies, it's super interesting because it's so individual. You know, a nutrition company has a different prioritization than a mental wellness company. A fitness studio has a different prioritization than a company that wants to do company health management. That rather comes with, we need this holistic approach for mental well-being and physical health, while maybe a nutrition app has different kind of priorities, you know. So we see a huge demand of individualizing the kind of things you will get out of it when it comes to the scores and the complexity of how to showing the scores. Like we, if you dive a bit deeper into our app experience, we have this 4 main tiles and then each 3-4 subscores for sleep and activity and so on. And some need it way simpler. Hey, we just want to see calories and steps and your heart health, and that's it. Because our users wouldn't check more than 4 biomarkers a day. So you have more or less this kind of solution where you can pick and choose what's good for you. But the most important stuff, and that's a huge plus for all of them, and that's like the big USP where we feel this pull effect from the market, is the fact that we are a wearable agnostic. So we are actually supporting all different fitness trackers. And at the same time, are building this AI coach on top of it. So really translate the data into proactive, preventive, and personalized health management in a very seamless and simple user experience and be proactive about it. So here we have this huge plus of being a wearable agnostic and have this engagement machine ultimately leading to better retention for our B2B clients.
What role does data science play in refining on the health type recommendations and services, most importantly, recommendations?
It's the recommendation engine. It really is the engagement engine that is like I'm always highlighting that because for me, that's the most important, is helping individuals to proactively improve their health and be proactive about their health, but commercially helps companies to have better KPIs, better retention, better engagement, and also more value, which justifies a better price and more paying customers.
I love that question because we recently had a few sport tech founders and health tech founders here talking about the future of wearables and health tech. And I love to compare the answers later on. So where do you see the future of health technology heading, especially in the realm of wearable tech and personalized health data?
That's a great question. And I think the future, like, we will see crazy evolutions happening there. So we have to differentiate between hardware and software. Maybe let's start with hardware. The future of wearable technology will certainly, this will be history at some point in time, wristbands and fingers. So next evolution will be smart patches, smart tattoos, these kind of stuff. And then at some point will go under the skin. It sounds super cyborg futuristic now, but at some point in time, it will be normal that you will just have kind of implants or smart technology under the skin that gives you real time insights to optimize micronutrients, macro, like nutrition and different kind of things. We will see that at one point in time. So the future of health and sports technology, the evolution of wearable technology offers a broad range of different kind of use cases by optimizing nutrition, optimizing hormones, optimizing happiness, optimizing hydration, glucose levels, and all of these different things with real-time insights. So we will see a bright, shining future there, which is also scary partially, and personal preference. What do you really want and what not? And I totally get that. And when it comes to then the software aspect or not the hardware, like there we will see more dots connected for sure. Because now it's very frustrating for users. I have my nutrition app here. I have my mental wellness app here. Here's where I track my sports workout. This is what I'm using for mobility and stretching. Here's what I do, whatever, you know, smart scale, weight management. And what we see is like more dots connected because you want to have a seamless user experience. You want to have one personal health profile, in best case, connected to an intelligent layer, an intelligence or AI coach in our case, that is like giving you at a glance the right stats for the day and the right insights and the right recommendations to maintain an ideal and optimal state of your health and performance, both physically and mentally. So we will see more dots connected here in the future on B2C perspective, like just described, but also on B2B perspective, because all of these different players, they have to fine tune their radars. They have to identify upcoming trends on the markets and they have to make smart moves now to stay competitive. And who's able to make the best moves fast have a competitive edge, right? So of course, all of them know, hey, we can actually provide more value to our users by personalizing their user experience, whatever it is. And if that means that the fitness studio in the future knows the load management of a member when they come in, they can provide a workout that fits to their load on that day, or whatever, they have a nutrition hub integrated as well, and they will potentially knew about potential shortcomings and put you the right supplement or shake in to fill up that shortcoming. So how can I personalize the user experience in a very smart way in the future? Who's able to connect the dots and make a very seamless and outstanding user experience, both offline and online? those are the ones who will always have a competitive edge, and the technology is there. So we're now living in the time of exponential technology, so we will see crazy developments and disruptive technology in the next years in both sports tech and health tech.
Sounds kind of scary, but how do you stay, David, the trends and the latest developments in health technology, and, you know, incorporate them later into your business? What do you follow?
To be honest, like, this is just my life, man. You know, this is just like what I'm doing morning till night, every day, all day, every day. So it's just a lot. You study day-to-day basis, doing your own research and then adapting it and really testing on the market and getting feedback from the market. I think that's the best thing you can ever do. See what works and what not.
You're the earliest adopter of the, because the solution is for the like-minded people, in a sense.
Exactly.
What advice would you give to younger entrepreneurs, especially in health tech, that are aspiring to make a difference in that industry?
I think that the first thing, because you say health tech, the first thing when you're an aspiring entrepreneur in that space is you have to think of the difference between health tech and wellness lifestyle technology, because there's a huge difference. And very often we speak about health tech, digital health. And I did the same mistake. So I am like, the company is called Health Tech Group, right? I thought health tech is also like, it's all one thing. But if you're working for years in that industry, you learn that there are actually two universes. And one is this really serious health tech, med tech space, where you more or less would like, you need a long breath. You have to be aware of long regulatory hurdles and then doing B2B business with, I don't know, pharma companies, hospitals, and actually like building an engagement machine, let's say an upselling tool for one of these incumbents who kind of preserve the old existing system, which is not what is really motivating to me. Because I figured out at some point in time by going to all of these conferences in medtech, health tech, and so on, that there are a lot of topics, but it's not really about health. It's not really about proactive health and changing or really causing a paradigm shift, what we initially spoke about. That's why at some point I, by intention, decided, man, we have to empower the individuals by making better lifestyle choices and improving their health on a proactive basis. And this is what the first thing I would advise to somebody who wants to build in this space. Be aware about the difference in medtech, health tech, and wellness technology, because it also has regulatory implications, of course. You need good funding and the long breath if you really want to go this more serious medtech approach or health tech approach. And you have different customers and clients than if you go to digital wellness. And if you are clear about that, look for a very good team and complementary skill sets for you. Like if you go that route as a solo founder, it's very tough. It's very hard. You need a lot of resilience and a high threshold of pain and endurance and so on. So depends on your personality, but I would definitely recommend to have like a good complementary team of founders. Also, it comes with many different benefits also from an investor perspective. I'm a bit of an outlier, so I wouldn't recommend that. We still have a very successful funding journey and we are short before closing our next round, but now we have this track record. I know that a lot of investors actually are very critical about Zulu founders, so probably it's if you start from scratch, you will have it easier if you have a good founding team. And then start early, build traction fast. It will make things definitely way easier than just pitching a vision, especially these days and times. So build traction fast, have good KPIs, know your numbers, and then just go out and make it happen. Don't die in perfection. You will learn and iterate until happy.
That's a great recap and a summary. Adrian, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's so important what you guys do. Much love for you as well. It was super nice to be a guest here, and all the best for you as well.
Stay in touch with us. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us a like, comment, or share. If you want to reach out personally, you can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram.